A Keen Mind podcast. My name is Jude Johnson, and I'm a licensed therapist and mindfulness meditation teacher. I'm so glad that you all are here. Because most people struggle with stress from time to time and feel overwhelmed when they can't keep up with life's demands. I teach mindfulness and meditation because it helps people find more joy and peace in life. I'm excited to announce that today's episode marks the 1 year point and the A Keen Mind podcast. I want to personally thank all of you for listening, for tuning in, for subscribing to the show, for giving me a rating, for being an awesome audience. Because your listens, your likes on my Facebook page, you spreading the word has helped me become in the top 25 mindfulness podcasts of 2019. I am humbled and so grateful for all of you who listen and tune in from week to week. I realize that my production of episodes has been spotty for the last couple of months, and there's a big reason for that. I've had a lot going on personally as well as professionally, and I have an announcement to make. I am going to be moving out of full-time nonprofit mental health work into private practice for myself. I've actually been working in private practice part-time for about 10 years. And I have some bittersweet feelings about moving from the nonprofit world and mental health to working for myself. And this is challenging because I got into this field to help people who are hurting, who are suffering with anxiety, depression, all kinds of different mental illnesses, family conflict, major life transitions. And I know how important it is for people to have access to counseling, to be able to express their thoughts and feelings to somebody who is going to listen and really be mindful about how this person is feeling and processing life, and then to be able to give them some clear direction on next steps and how they might want to consider thinking about things. And there's simply not enough resources for people in mental health, especially people that are indigent, that don't have much. And this has been some of the difficulty that I've faced in saying goodbye to many of my clients, is that some of them don't have adequate resources. They may be living in a shelter, going from place to place. They don't have adequate health insurance. And this is painful, especially for the people that this is happening to, but it was painful also for me to watch and to feel somewhat helpless at being able to change some of the real life circumstances that they were dealing with. So the job could be high stress at times. And I don't know how I would have done that kind of work without practicing mindfulness and meditation. It really helped me find a sense of peace in the midst of pain and difficulty. It allowed me to often remain hopeful when people were telling me things where it seemed like that there was very little hope for them to have. I've decided to move out on my own for a few different reasons. One is I just want more autonomy to be able to do things the way I wish with my schedule. Perhaps opening up some more flexibility and freedom to be able to see my family and my children at different times. And I'm hoping that this new position will allow me that flexibility. The other reason is that the pay in the nonprofit world for anyone being a therapist can be somewhat challenging. And I've been in that field in the nonprofit world for about 15 years, and I believe it's just time for me to move into a different phase because honestly, I have to think about how I'm going to pay for college for my two sons. And I want to see them have opportunities And so that's part of also the reason I'm making this decision. And it doesn't mean that I don't deeply care about the people that I've been working with in the nonprofit world. I'm very grateful for these experiences and to have learned so much and to see so much hope in people that are going through difficulty. I've watched people's lives truly transform that came in hopeless, having plans to end their life, and then finding that being mindful and practicing meditation could make a true difference in their life. Unfortunately, the rates of anxiety and depression are continuing to rise globally. Stress levels are continuing to rise, with more than 300 million people worldwide suffering from depression. We have a mental health crisis. We need more involvement from every person out there. There's such a stigma with mental illness. People come to therapy and they don't want their families to know, or they don't want their churches to know, because there's some sense of shame that they should be able to get it together. They should just be able to push through their depression or their debilitating anxiety and just make things work all on their own. And I think it's important for those of you who are listening who have never experienced a mental illness to understand that depression isn't just feeling sad. It's not like you're just, oh, you know, I have the blues today, I'm a little bit down, things aren't working for me. Depression can affect your energy level where you feel absolutely drained. You could sleep and sleep and sleep and yet still feel fatigued. Or on the other hand, if you're severely depressed, you may find that you can barely sleep at all and that you continue to feel fatigued. Perhaps appetite is completely diminished, or you're eating in excess. Another symptom of depression is automatic negative thoughts, seeing them occur over and over and over again. And I believe that part of depression is how isolated people feel in today's society. We're more disconnected than ever. We're on our computers, our smartphones. We are texting, emailing, and using social media to keep up with people. And I think sometimes losing sight of real conversations where we look at one another, we talk about real things and laugh and connect with one another. There was a recent study done on mindfulness meditation that showed in older adults that they could reduce their loneliness with the practice of mindfulness and meditation. We know that being lonely and isolated is a contributor to depression. We all need to be able to connect with each other and enjoy those connections because it helps us enjoy life more. And I want to share with you guys that I have also decided to go back to the Charlotte Center for Mindfulness. And part of that was I was feeling somewhat isolated as a teacher, promoting and teaching everything all on my own. Whereas, as I've joined the Charlotte Center for Mindfulness again, I'm going to have co-teachers, and we're going to have meetings, and we're going to have talks about how we can continue to grow mindfulness right here in the Charlotte area. And Lindsay Bridges, who is a medical doctor, founded the Center for Mindfulness, and she just has a compassionate heart for people to learn mindfulness and to benefit from it, which is why her company is a nonprofit. So I guess I'm not leaving the nonprofit world completely. I am staying in it to some degree. And she wants to see anyone and everyone have access to these resources, which is why the cost of the courses are on a sliding scale, so anyone can access them. And I'm teaching for the Charlotte Center for Mindfulness this fall, and you can register by visiting my website, akeenmind.com, and there you'll be able to see the link for the fall class. My orientation is going to be September the 9th at 6:30 p.m. at Carolinas Medical Center, Mercy. You can also visit ccmindful.org and look at all the offerings as well as community groups that are offered through the Center for Mindfulness. So I hope you'll go and check out some of their resources. They're a wonderful organization that I am proud to be a part of. And as I mentioned earlier, the other thing that I'm going to be doing is more counseling in my private practice. So if you're local here in Charlotte, or you're in the North Carolina area and you're interested in perhaps even video chat sessions, you can reach out to me. Just send me an email, jude@akeenmind.com, or you can give me a call, 843-364-5921, so that you and I can chat a little bit to see if I would be a good fit for you as a counselor. So I also know that we have an audience that is way outside of North Carolina. There's folks in all over the United States and many different countries. So I want to thank you all for listening as well. And wherever you're at, perhaps you need to seek out a therapist as well. You know, if you are in the United States, I know that you can go to psychologytoday.com and you can type in your zip code. You can filter by insurances that are taken, specialties, so that you can find someone to really talk to. Because I think that talking alone and expressing the feelings and having someone else who will really listen is one of the biggest benefits to therapy, which is why journaling can be so helpful too. But it's nice to know that somebody's there, that someone is really invested in listening. And I think it's really helpful to find somebody who is well-versed in mindfulness. You know, I know that being mindful day in, day out is just a way of living. It's not anything that you are going to be an expert at. So we just keep working daily to remind ourselves to be present. Mindfulness is an integrative mind-body approach that helps people manage their thoughts and feelings and mental health concerns. It is widely used. You can see mindfulness being used by more and more therapists and psychologists, but you can also see mindfulness really taking hold in the workplace. And I'm happy to see mindfulness spreading into lots of different areas of our culture because I believe that it is a tool that's going to help us become more compassionate, more awake, and more aware in our day in, day out lives. I want to talk to you a little bit about how I utilize mindfulness as well as meditation in my counseling sessions. So initially, when I see someone for the very first time, it's a lot of information gathering, trying to understand what kind of symptoms people are experiencing, whether they may be dealing with major family conflict, relationship difficulty, what some of their family history has entailed and how that has impacted them, because we know that events that we go through help shape the way we perceive and look at the world and how we respond to stress. Look at sleeping habits, eating, we look at relationships, we look at all the different domains of living and areas that may be causing stress to understand first what's going on. I want to give people an opportunity to really express their thoughts and feelings and concerns so that I can get to know the individual. Because the truth is that we often need people to approach us right where we're at in order to get the kind of help that we need. Lots of people are quick to tell us what to do. I first want to be a good listener and to truly understand where you're coming from and what's going on. And then from that part, I offer some basic skills in the initial session on how to reduce stress through the practice of mindfulness, and I suggest to begin a brief practice of stopping 5 to 6 times a day, taking some deep breaths, observing mindfully, and I go in more detail about how to observe mindfully, and then to proceed by being present in the moment, so that this kind of becomes a habit and a routine. And at the end of that first session, we want to have a clear understanding also about what your goals are for therapy and to begin a path of working towards those. Now, I, of course, will review the definitions of mindfulness and meditation, and also sometimes provide reflections inside those therapy sessions to help you do some mindful inquiry or investigation so that you can begin to look at whether or not what you're believing is really true. You know, I've often talked in this podcast about the fact that you don't have to believe every thought that you have, that maybe it's just a thought, and that we can notice that and notice the thoughts come and go. Well, sometimes we also need to take a deeper look to see whether or not what we are believing is true. So through reflection in the therapy process, I can help you look more deeply at that. And then learn the skill of mindful inquiry so that you can take it with you and practice outside the session as well. My intention in therapy is to be a resource to the people that I'm serving so that they feel supported, that they feel that they have a guide, someone who is directing them and giving them effective skills that they can apply to their daily life, while also respecting your integrity and autonomy, that I know that you can come up with many of the solutions to the stressors and difficulties that you're facing, and that my intention is to be a kind and supportive presence to you as you work through the challenges that you're facing. And my encouragement is that you find someone out there to help you with this if you face the need for counseling. And so many people face a mental illness at some point in time in their life. If that's you now, go seek help. And if the person you find you don't connect with, drop it and see if you can pick up with somebody that you do connect with. You know, there are people that I haven't connected with at times in my career, and that's okay. That happens from time to time. So hopefully you all have a better understanding of what counseling looks like and how I use mindfulness in the context of the sessions. And from time to time, especially if the client is interested, I will provide brief guided meditations to help do some centering, to help us get back in touch with what matters and what's important right here in the present moment as a way of settling the body and the mind. So if you have any questions about counseling, mindfulness, meditation, please reach out to me, jude@akeenmind.com. I would love to hear from you and answer your questions on a future episode. And now we're going to transition to a guided meditation. You're invited to either sit or lie down. If you're feeling a little tired or low energy, you may wish to sit. Maybe even sitting a little straighter, allowing the shoulders to come up, back, and down, and then to rest naturally. And then notice where your body is making contact with the surface beneath you. See if you can just allow the body to be supported, letting the muscles of the body be at ease as much as possible without forcing. And invite awareness into the body, scanning from the top of the head all the way down the body to the bottoms of the feet, noticing what you can, allowing the body to be just as it is. And then allowing attention to settle on the bottoms of the feet, sense and feel what you can hear. If your feet are touching the floor, see if you can imagine that you have roots growing from the bottoms of the feet down into the earth, going deep. Or if you're lying down, you perhaps may notice where the heels are touching the floor or the surface beneath you, and to imagine roots growing deep into the earth, grounding you into this moment, into this place. To notice the legs, the knees, noticing the hips. Being aware of the belly, rib cage, chest. Noticing the torso. And then watching the body receive the breath, noticing how as you breathe in, the body expands and fills with aliveness. And then watching the body let go, let be. Just observing this body breathe in and out. Then inviting awareness up into the space of the shoulders. See if you can sense and feel the shoulders from the inside out. Perhaps allowing them to drop away from the ears. Imagining the shoulders soften a bit, perhaps going from ice to water. Going from water to gas, becoming even lighter. Noticing the upper arms. Observing biceps, triceps, elbow joints. Noticing the forearms. Wrists, and then allowing the attention to settle right inside the hands, allowing the hands to be open and receptive, just as they are. Inviting awareness upward as you begin to notice the oval of the face, the skin of the face. Allowing the face to be soft. Unhinging the muscles of the jaw if you're able. Relaxing the tongue. And then sensing the body as a whole, from the top of the head all the way down to the bottoms of the feet. Just being curious to what you can sense and feel. Noticing changing sensations. Warmth, coolness, tingling. Being aware of when thoughts come to mind. And then returning attention to the body. Sitting here, lying here. Just observing. Then you're invited to gently, kindly bring awareness to breathing. Notice where you can detect the breath most easily. The tip of the nose, the nostrils, back of the throat, chest, belly. Notice what happens when the mind doesn't want to be with the breath. Notice what comes up without resistance, letting go of any need to judge, criticize, fix, and then return to breathing. Noticing the soft touch of the breath flow in and out. Perhaps seeing if you can breathe deeply enough so that you can feel the breath all the way down in the belly as you breathe in, watching the belly expand. And as you breathe out, watching the belly drop. Being present with each in-breath and each out-breath. When you observe that you're not being mindful is the very moment when you regain mindfulness. The observation that the mind has been pulled into a different direction. Acknowledging where the attention is all part of mindfulness. Just noticing, acknowledging, perhaps saying future thinking, past thinking, anxious thoughts, angry thoughts, whatever may be arising, planning thoughts. And then gently, kindly, yet firmly coming back to breathing again and again. Just following the breath. Observing the habits of the mind and the body. Being curious to what you notice. Coming back to breathing again and again. If you lose touch with the breath, or you notice that you're trying to control the breath, you may just wish to place attention with listening, with hearing, noticing all the different sounds that you can detect. And then gently coming back to the breath. Letting go of trying to make anything special happen. And just inviting yourself to observe this touch of the breath. We're going to take a few more breaths from this space right here. As I offer a quote by Mary Pickford, she says, "You may have a fresh start any moment you choose. For this thing that we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down." You're invited to gently bring awareness back to the space around you. Noticing the quality of your attention. And just remember, your meditation may be different each time you practice because it's a new moment. You have different activities that have been going on, different things to process. See if you can take a step back from judging or evaluating the effectiveness. Is that just the mere fact that you show up, that you listen, and that you practice? See if you can allow that to be enough. And to know that mindfulness and meditation is a beautiful tool that can be applied in so many different areas of life as kind of like a base for how to pay attention in a kind, friendly way, but ultimately following a path of curiosity, remaining curious and open to different things that may help you discover more about yourself so that you can find more joy and peace. I think we each have to pay close attention to what works for us and what doesn't work. To really investigate, to remain curious, to remain open is the work of a lifetime, and you are practicing. You're doing a great job. You're showing up. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end, and I appreciate your support and wish you well. Until next time, take care.